This is Side Hustle with Luke and Omar. We'll explore what it takes to run a side hustle with talented individuals from different backgrounds and experiences. We will discuss things like taking the plunge, personal challenges, and the balancing act of maintaining a day job whilst side hustling to make the dream a reality. Now sit back, relax, as we talk to some of these amazing individuals. Hey, Simon, thank you so much for having us here, man. This is going to be an exciting chat. We're set here in Simon's backyard. It's a beautiful sunny morning, and it really suits the environment of what we're about to talk about and the side hustle as well. You'll come to learn soon about Simon's side hustle and what we're setting outside.
Yeah, we're really here to learn. Like, we have our own hustles. We're interested in the what it means to be having a hustle, and we're interested really to learn like what's been going on through this podcast and just really dig in and uncover some gems.
Simon has graciously offered us some of this, how do you pronounce this beer?
This is the Kaiju Crush.
Kaiju Crush. Great. Do you want to just explain a little bit about this Kaiju Crush?
Well, yeah, this beer here, yeah. I remember actually Luke was moving from his house.
Cheers.
Luke was moving houses, and I came around to help him, you know, essentially
it's delicious.
Put the truck, and he, in his esky, he had this.
Yeah.
Delicious. And it was always on my radar, just one of the first beers I ordered.
That's beautiful. Is it locally made here?
In Dandenong.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, the brewery's in Dandenong, and I'm just more of a fan. That's why I ordered it.
Awesome. Well, I mean, that was somewhat of a promotion, but if this ever gets picked up, would like a check.
Well, if you want to further that promotion, the inspiration from this beer, from our opinion, is that we fucking love Prosecco.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And this kind of taste, and we always say that Prosecco would be amazing with vodka, which you've actually yet to really do.
Sure.
But this is pretty much Prosecco and beer mixed together.
Great.
Do you got some Prosecco? I got some in the fridge.
That's all right. I'll start writing the invoice now. as we mentioned before, man, thanks so much for having us here.
Thanks for coming.
It'll be great to start off this chat with you kind of just giving us a bit of a background about how the idea came about, what inspired you, and what you're currently doing.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm going to go way, way back.
Yep.
From basically the start. But when I was in year 12, high school, the question of what do you want to do when you, like, grow up, essentially? Mm-hmm. What do you want to do? And I always wanted to have my own business. I've always, like, known that eventually I'm going to be a business owner. And at the time, I was really keen on, like, doing burger trucks and, like go down the food path, that type of thing, but never eventuated. I was really young, didn't know much. And so in the back of my mind, that was always the thing I wanted to do. But more recently, I was actually reading a book called The Barefoot Investor. And there's a part in the book that's about doubling your income. And I'm thinking, cool, how can I go about doing that? And essentially I thought, you know what? I'm going to do my own business. I'm going to have to think of something to do and do it. For the beer club from the start,
yep,
has been about getting people beer.
Sure.
And here in this area, getting beer when you've had a couple of drinks is very difficult.
As in leaving your house to go to the bottle shop, picking up something, and then getting back to the party once you've had a few beers.
Exactly right. When you've had a couple of drinks,
yep,
it's not worth the risk driving or even walking. Calculating it takes about half an hour round trip to go mm-hmm. to the most recent, the closest bottle shop
yep.
and back.
That is true, actually. Yeah, you're right. That does take a bit of time.
And when you have a couple of drinks, that's the last thing you want to do.
Exactly. You sit down on the couch, you listen to music, you're socializing with mates and stuff. The last thing you want to do is get in the car and get some more beers.
Exactly right. Yeah. And the amount of times that we've been hanging out here, having a couple of drinks, get to the last two beers, fuck, we're out.
You know? Yeah.
Shit. Yep. Trying to plead with Rach to, hey, Rach, can you go to the bar? That doesn't, you know, rarely would ever get that across the line.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wish that there was a delivery service that did it. And that's when Froth the Beer Club was born. I decided, you know what? Fuck it. I'm gonna do it. It's a service that I wish existed in this area.
Yep.
There are competitors in more metro areas.
Sure.
And I wish that they serviced here,
mm-hmm.
but they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to take that responsibility on myself. And that's why Froth the Beer Club, I guess, started.
That's awesome. So there's pretty much a gap here that was really untapped. And you've decided to kind of take it up on yourself to trial this out to see if it works.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming it's done well so far because you've been doing it for how long now?
Only a couple months.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, okay. And we have had some weeks are quiet, some weeks are successful.
Yeah.
Days like this is perfect because, you know, prospects, they're sitting in the backyard, they're like, we should get some beers.
Yeah.
They've had a couple. They literally, and based on like stats and stuff, people are searching in this area.
Yeah, wow.
Which is like awesome for me. But it's still early days. I got a lot to learn.
Sure.
But it's just so much fun. When, you know, when they tell you, like, if you, when you're passionate about something, it doesn't feel like work. That's what it feels like. Like, absolutely. I'm excited to be open.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I want to give people beers. Like, I want to, you know, it's not about making money anymore. It's like, let's just get you some beers, you know?
Yeah.
So it's about that passion, I guess.
Oh, 100%. I like to think of myself as a hospitable person. Mm. Sounds a bit, what do you call it? Like, I'm not sure if it's like bad ego or whatever, but I want to make sure people have a drink, they have food or whatever. If they come around, turn that into work. It's fun. The best job I ever had was when I worked at Grilled making burgers. I fucking loved it. Like, that was so much fun.
Well, I mean, going to your point, as soon as we came through the door, you were already offering us coffees.
Yeah.
Your wife brought us hash browns and now we sit here in the sun drinking beer. So it's, you know, it's, you've been an awesome host so far.
Thank you.
And that's testament to your kind of business kind of outlook and what you want to do as well.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe taking a slight step back. So you mentioned earlier that you were talking about sort of Barefoot Investor and, you know, working hard and that, like to double your income, that sort of stuff. And you touched on something about having a food truck. Interesting thing about that, well, for people that don't know, Simon and I are brothers. So I've been here for the whole inception of all of these ideas. And interestingly, that food truck idea was before food trucks.
Yeah.
So that was before food trucks were a thing. That was like the idea, correct me if I'm wrong, it was creating burgers and selling
to deliver
through the truck. Yeah, delivering through the truck.
So it was actually a Viscom project, like visual communication design.
Yeah.
And it was the business that I was like to work the project was called Beer Run.
Okay.
And it was essentially Uber Eats.
Wow.
And I'm like, what the fuck didn't I do that? I should have just, like, I was before Uber Eats. Why didn't I just back myself? You know what I mean?
It's crazy because it comes back to your branding, which we'll probably touch on soon as well. But it seems like you're always trying to bridge that good times with convenience. So you're not having someone kind of go out of their way to get the tasty burgers, to get, you know, the refreshing drinks. Like, you want to get it to them just so the party keeps going, the gathering, everything just kind of keeps taking place and like 100%. The good times are rolling, which is awesome, which is a good segue into your brand and kind of what it means. So what's the actual name of this entire thing that you're doing? What's it called?
We're Frothy Beer Club.
Frothy Beer Club. I couldn't have picked a better name.
Literally, I was thinking about it and I'm like, what's delicious? Like, what beer? It's when you have a frothy beer, it sounds delicious. It is delicious. On a day like this, I'll get me a frothy. Even though says that.
It looks delicious as well.
It looks delicious, yeah. but yeah, it's like the name. And I wanted to make sure it was a collective. At the end of the day, I'm offering a service and I want it to be like a club.
Mm-hmm.
So using the word club kind of sounds, it's not like we're just like a, you know, a liquor shop or whatever.
Sure.
You're part of a club. As soon as you order from me, I want to make sure I look after you. If it was up to me, I'd just be offering at cost. But at the same time, I need to have running costs, that type of thing.
Absolutely.
But essentially, the whole point of it is to get people the beers when they need them.
Mm.
And, you know, if I can achieve a competitive price and it's a deal and they're willing to try it, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So it's a collective, I guess.
That's awesome. I'm assuming you're a one-man club at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, besides your customers. What's talk us through it. What's the day to day like? Because you're obviously, we'll get into your 9 to 5, but more so I want to understand the process from when someone hits you up on your website. I'm assuming they put an inquiry through the website or give you a call. If you could just talk us through a typical scenario of what that looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. So at this stage, Frothy Beer Club is a website and we take orders only through like an online funnel. Like, so you click on the website, you browse through the beers, you pick what beers you want, you literally go to a checkout, and it's just like buying off eBay, but on the website itself. Once that order comes through, I get an email or a notification through my Shopify and literally go to the fridge, prepare the order, put it into an Esky, and I deliver it as soon as I can to the customer. So that way it's cold and they're getting it as quick as possible.
Mm-hmm. And the transaction happens on your website as well. So they're paying for the service on the website, or are you collecting money at the door?
No, collecting on the website.
Okay.
There's no cash exchange in person. It's just once the transaction comes through, I get the money for the beer, I deliver it.
Yeah,
that's kind of like the process there.
Yeah, awesome. So then thinking about what sets that apart from like competitors? So you mentioned metro providers as well. So what's from your brand perspective, what sets you apart from those guys?
Our mission and the brand is all about quenching their thirst as soon as possible. Like when I get an order, I'm basically running around the house or running outside to the garage to do the order. Like I need to get there fucking as soon as I can.
Yeah.
Because they need the beer now.
Yeah. So you're like an emergency service for beer drinkers.
Yeah.
Well, you think about that hour round trip we talked about earlier. You want to be faster than that, I guess.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Like, and it needs to, like, I need to get them the beer. Like, it's almost like it's like Mission Impossible. Like, I need to get there as soon as I can. Like, I get stressed out about it. Like, fuck, I need to get in the car and get there.
That's an interesting notion, actually, thinking about that and then thinking about the browsability of the website itself. It's something to I guess, possibly factor in as well, is how do you also make that streamlined and fast? Like, for example, when you order on Coles Online, it remembers. And you can like save your shop and stuff like that. Is there anything like online, like on your website, I guess, where you can sort of do anything like that where things are saved or your account saved and, you know, like to streamline that a bit?
There is like a have an account, which I haven't utilized properly.
Sure.
I pretty much, with the website and the current stage it's at, it was just, I need to be live.
Mm.
It needs a lot of work, but I just need to be able to take transactions and get people, like the service to be officially running.
Absolutely.
We're working through phase two now, which is like honing in, making some amendments or optimizations to the website to make it look more, you know, aesthetically better to look at and just function better, like more logical.
Mm.
So 100% there is that functionality, but we just haven't capitalized on it.
Yeah.
Which is a good point. It's a club, you know. You need to, like, having your weekly favorite beer, like that's amazing to me. Like, you know, just as simple as logging on, clicking deliver now,
yeah,
that'll be streamline the process.
Yeah, even the thought of eventually having, seeing as though it is a club, having some sort of meetups or catch-ups or some sort of social aspect to the club could be kind of cool as well.
Almost like building a community type thing and, you know, meetups and what have you. And
I'm jumping ahead, but the vision of it and like where we're going is taking a step away from it just being beer and the club word. So like I'm fully intending of when I have the client base or customer base, like fucking getting an artist to come down, having a warehouse where we stock everything, and just having a gig,
hosting a party,
okay,
have a good time.
So you want to get into events somewhat and like 100%. Still treat it under that club umbrella?
Oh, 100%.
That's brilliant.
Even just like apparel, I'm working on. Like we've recently went through and changed the logo and everything, but I'm intending on my clothes being Frothy Beer Club, just wearing Frothy Beer Club, like owning it. And even like not selling it, but the club itself, if they spend enough or they, you know, work with us or you know, put orders through enough, giving them apparel.
That's amazing. Like it seems like the DNA of this entire brand is really embedded in you and like you can see the passion through it. What I wanted to know is how long has that, the inception of the idea, because you said you've been in business for 2 months now, but how long did it take you to kind of launch the operation, the website, the licensing, as we saw here at your house? If you could just talk us through that a little bit and that process.
Absolutely.
Just to jump in, could you also maybe start with the plunge? Like what was the moment when you were like, fucking, I'm doing this?
So since I turned 18, as you know, drinking more alcohol, beers, from like extra 9 kilos from drinking beers, that type of thing. But essentially I love having a beer. I correlate it with friends. I correlate it with family, like going to lunch and stuff. I've always loved that. Like at mum's house and that type of thing. But about 3 or 4 years ago, I just thought, you know what? I'd love to have a bottle shop one day. And it was just like a bottle shop.
Yeah.
You know? I love having a drink. Like imagine, you know, having a business, blah, blah, blah. And, I have been up until earlier this year, complacent. 9 till 5, going to work.
Yeah.
Just getting the paycheck, paying mm-hmm. bills, and just, you know, trying to save for a house, essentially.
Yeah.
But it was about October last year when I realized, fuck, I'm just in this, like, trend. I'm just in this continual thing. Life, blah, 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 working super hard for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
God.
Can you dig into that a little bit? Like, so when you say you found you were complacent and that you were, you know, you've identified this like cycle.
Mm.
What can you dig into that? Like, what uncovered that, I guess?
Like the emotives, like the emotional feeling when you come yeah. home from a hard day's work and your partner asks you, hey, how's your day? And you're just like, oh, fuck, I've got to, like...
That's just what it was. It was always what I was talking about.
Yeah, and even when you put your head down on the pillow and you're about to go to sleep, is that shit going through your head going, oh, fuck, I've got to repeat that entire thing? I mean, obviously, we're coming at it from a very pessimistic point of view, but we really want to delve into the kind of, like, the more emotive kind of feelings yeah. that you had towards that.
Absolutely. I think it comes down to when you have, on a Sunday afternoon... And you realize the next day you have to go to work and you're like sour about it, something's not right. That's not healthy.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's just like, that's not how life should be. You spend 60% of your week at work to get money, to pay for bills, and that's it.
And you're also not spending it with people that you actually give two shits about. Like some of them do become friends, but you're locked in for 40 hours plus with people you don't necessarily want to hang out with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
Yeah. That's very true. Like you think about like the amount of time you're at work and the amount of people that you're involved with and collaborating with at work. And yeah, like I through all my years, I've probably got like 5 people, like I say, that are true friends yeah. at work from like the like hundreds of people that I've worked with.
Yeah.
Or 100 people or whatever that I've worked with. Yeah, I totally agree. And I guess to think about what you're saying as well is that disdain on the Sunday, it's interesting. It's interesting that thought. It's interesting the how people identify that cycle but then just keep sticking with it.
Mm-hmm.
So can you dig into like that moment of like, this is enough?
Yeah. So touching back on that book, Barefoot Investor, mm-hmm. Double Your Income, it was like, cool, I need to like find a side hustle. I need to find something else to... double the income so we can buy a house, blah, blah, blah. So at the point, it was very money-focused.
Mm.
It was how to make more money.
Mm.
Money. Mm. Which is now reflecting on it, fucking stupid. Like, you don't work for money. You make money work for you after we listen to that book.
Yeah.
The Rich Dad Poor Dad I'm currently going through, and it's changed my whole perception on cash and
mm-hmm.
the whole lens of opportunity, I agree.
Yeah.
The good thing about that Barefoot Investor book, though, is... when he's talking about doubling your money, it's really cool because you're reading it and you're thinking to yourself, he's going to give you a formula. Like, he's going to say something and the formula is just work harder. And as soon as yeah. he said it, I was like, I like this guy. Like,
yeah.
Like
yeah.
That's so real. And then he goes into 2 segues of like, you can either do your own thing and work harder that way,
mm-hmm.
or you can climb that corporate ladder and this is a way to do that as well.
Mm.
And it's amazing when you start to get into that and you're like, yeah, I'm not the corporate ladder guy. I'm that guy.
Mm.
So now I'm going to start thinking about.
And like, especially like social media, like I guess influences, things like Gary Vee, Kerwin Ray,
mm-hmm.
having them on my socials has been instrumental in being motivated and mm-hmm. like just thinking outside the box.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because since a very young age, my whole perception on life was you go to school, you go to uni, you get a job, you buy a house.
Mm-hmm. Start a family.
Start a family, and that's it.
Yeah.
You have to go work for someone.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get a job. You have to go to uni.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, hearing the opposite of that, Gary Vee actually says in one of his videos, he was a fucking a D student or a fail student.
Mm.
He just passed, and that's it.
Just did the bare minimum.
Bare minimum, get through their system, and do your own thing. And that was like the amount of times I've been hungover on a Sunday, you know, having the drink on a fucking Saturday, running out of beer, wishing there was a delivery service. Mm-hmm. On a Sunday, seeing that, being hungover and then getting up and doing some shit, like that's how probably Beer Club kind of started because mm-hmm. on the weekends is my time outside of my 9 to 5. I'd go through that cycle, have I get drunk, blah, blah, blah. I was about to say, you know, I'm a dad, but you know, I still love having my cheeky drink. But yeah, like using the weekends, capitalizing on my time to start this has been like, I have so much time.
Yeah. So just going back, because I think we're digressing, but it's taken us to really cool avenues because it's opening up other topics. But going back to it's totally fine. This is awesome. Going back to the point where just like, you know what? I've had enough. This 9-to-5 thing is driving me nuts, or any other pressures outside of your 9-to-5. When was it like, all right, I'm going to put my foot down. Let's get working on this.
It was when I realized that I have all the tools to run a business.
Mm-hmm.
I have time. I've got knowledge on, I've come from an advertising background.
Mm-hmm.
I know how to drive traffic to a website.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the drive. I have the passion. I love beer. People love beer.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt that this service is needed.
Mm-hmm.
So when I kind of would come home from work, you know, not talking about a day, exhausted, blah, 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 and realizing I have so much more time to do things for myself, work for myself.
Yep.
That's when I just, it was October last year. The first thing I did was buy the business name, buy the domain. And that was like, it's happening now. I have to. It's almost like,
you gotta follow through.
Yeah.
Mm.
What is it?
The law of attraction?
The law of consistency.
Mm-hmm.
When you commit to something or announce it, you're more inclined to do it.
When you put it out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. When we started Jewel of Doves, the very first time I made that folder called Jewel of Doves, which holds all of our assets and everything, I screenshot of it. I'm like, one day we'll look back at this. Like, this is my garage. You know, the garage, like Apple was starting in a garage. I was starting in this folder.
Yeah.
But my the 9-to-5 thing, I was working, I like to think of myself as a hard worker.
Mm.
And, you know, I think outside the box. So I don't mean to sound like I have an ego, but I feel like I'm talent. I've got talent.
Mm-hmm.
I know, I got a sales background. I know how people think. And I know what's needed to, I guess, get the acquisition.
Yep.
And, you know, more recently, just kind of go a bit off topic, I'm currently working at Wynn Television. But I used to work at an advertising agency. And I learned so much there.
Mm-hmm.
And I it was that at that job where I was kind of like forced to, like as part of the KPIs, was to read books.
Yeah.
And growing up.
That's amazing. So that was part of their, I don't think it was anywhere where they're, like it's always where
they've encouraged you to like upskill on your knowledge and what have
you. Yeah, that's amazing.
We would have a book we had to read and we'd have a one-on-one with the director every fortnight. And he would like give you a reading list, and that's where I got Extreme Ownership, learning and like being forced to read these books.
Sure.
It has changed my life, and now I fucking love it. It's not a KPI. When you told me about that book, I fucking like it changes my perception on everything.
Mm-hmm.
And like Barefoot Investor changes like my thoughts on money and gave me ideas and blah blah blah. Being forced to read those books, and now I fucking wait for my Audible credit to come through so I can listen to another one. That's it. And I know that I'm a better person, like professionally, personally,
family.
I implement them in my personal life, implement them for the business. And it's just cool, like I guess a bit of like a skeleton of how to do things.
Yep.
I totally agree. I didn't even wait for the credits anymore. I had one day till the next credit rolled over. I was like, I need to listen to it right now. Bought it. Now I've got another credit.
So working there, working hard, understanding what it takes to grow a business, because advertising agencies, their job is to grow businesses.
Yep.
They have advertising spend. You need to drive leads. You need to drive acquisition. And learning those skills, I can implement that for myself. I can use that in any job I do. And it's really funny. I didn't learn sales until I worked at the advertising agency who, you know, they're not typically, you'd think, a salesperson, but they are more than ever. They're more sales than a media owner.
Yeah.
Because they have to sell it to the client.
Yeah.
So having that foundation and skills from that, I want to do my own. I love growing them business. Why don't I grow my own business?
Yep.
So that's where I kind of feel like I was equipped to start my own.
I feel like what I'm hearing here, which I feel like rings true to me and sort of is like an interesting thought, is that I feel like I'm finally in a point in my life or my career, whatever, where like I've shed my imposter syndrome, like my imposter syndrome is gone. And it sounds like a similar thing for you as well. Like with that imposter syndrome gone, you're like, well, if I can do it for other people, why aren't I doing it for myself? Like I can just do it. Like what's stopping me now?
There's nothing stopping me. I'm going to sleep thinking about how I'm still trying to make money for someone else. and thinking of different strategies and ways, and like my pitch meeting the next day, why don't I take that energy and do something for me and become my own kind of boss or start my own project?
And then also thinking about the satisfaction you get when you're doing something for yourself. And then thinking about even like Gary Vee sort of thing of like, you know, you've got from like, you know, 7 till 3 a.m. to be doing work. Like,
yeah.
Let's get it.
Yeah, exactly right. Don't fucking watch the footy. Spend that 2 hours.
Yeah.
Brainstorming.
Exactly. Bordering. What's been the kind of challenge to get your business up on its feet? And balancing the 9 to 5, like the challenges with obviously setting up the finances, ticking all the boxes from a rules and regulations point of view with the licensing, and kind of just setting up all the admin, boring, but the most serious stuff that you need to kind of look into before you start getting into the actual hustle of it.
So that was actually... It sounds like a lot of work, and it sounds boring, and it sounds like a long time. Reflecting on it just then, as you were talking through, I was thinking about it. Fuck, that was actually easy. The hardest part is the motivation. As soon as I knew that I needed to do it, it was a pleasure to go through it. It was like another ticking off another box. You know, it is foreign, you know, reading through this shit and learning about licenses and stuff like that. But if someone else can do it, Joe Blow, who owns the bottle shop down the road, why can't I do it? You know what I mean? I remember going into that, the RSA course was the first thing I did. The hardest part was actually just booking it and like going in and allocating the time to it.
Sorry, what's the RSA course?
So the RSA is Responsible Service of Alcohol.
Okay.
And it's about a 4 or 5 hour course or something.
Mm-hmm.
And you essentially go into like a classroom kind of setting and you sit there. So I went in because you have to have an RSA and then you have to get a liquor license.
Sure.
So I then organized the license premises and all that stuff. And it's a lot of paperwork.
Yeah.
But once it was done, it was like amazing.
Yeah, awesome.
But going in, looking around, everyone that I saw in that that course was actually younger than me because, you know, people who were going for a job at a bar or people who were working at a bottle shop.
Hospitality.
Yep. But me going in, already having a 9-to-5 job and just being immersed in this weird situation, I felt like... this is fun, like it's a bit of variety. So yeah, getting that done was just super easy. It's very like, all it is being motivated and having allocating the time to it.
Yeah.
The next thing is you have to go through a first steps liquor licensing course. And I remember going into that and it was like another 4 to 5 hour day and you had to go around the room and explain why you're applying for a license and blah, 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 blah. And people were saying, you know, I'm starting a bar and opening a brewery, a cafe slash brewery, stuff like that. And I was like really nervous about sharing what I wanted to do. And I was like, I guess on the fence, I didn't believe in Frothy Beer Club yet. But as soon as I said, oh, I'm opening a bottle shop, an online bottle shop, it was the first time it like resonated with me like, fuck, it's happening. I have to back myself now. And even like the feedback I was getting was, oh, that's cool. People were saying like, that's fucking sick. And like, it just justified my choice. You know what I mean? Even when I'm talking, when I ordered my fridge for the garage, or the licensed premise, I should say, for the, when I was explaining why I was ordering it, the feedback every time I talk about it is, oh, I wish I had that. That's awesome. There's people up in Sydney. Oh, that's a great idea. It just justifies why I'm doing it. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, thanks.
But it is a great idea. Like it really is. It just needs more people to know about it and get that get that buzz sort of happening, I think.
Just for the listeners as well, it's obviously hard to see what we're talking about, but Simon's literally got his whole garage set up as like a proper office type operation. He's got what would you call that fridge? What the size of it? What, it's like a double door.
It's like a double door. It's like when you go to a bottle shop, it's literally like a fridge. Yep. It's like five.
It's what you grab your beer out of at like a drive through bottle or something like that.
It's like what you expect a man cave would be. Like, it looks like a man cave, but it's a working space.
It's pretty much, so the fridge is kind of on his side. He's got his kind of Mac laid out on a table next to it. He's got some sort of a table in the middle of the garage, like some sort of a meeting type table. So the entire vibe of it, it looks like a startup. And we'll show you guys some photographs on the show notes as well. Yeah. But yeah, sorry, going back to what you were saying.
I guess also to double down on Simon's hospitality, he took beers out of his... What do you call them? Sellable? What do you call your
stock?
Your stock, out of the stock to
and
to
the little esky thing. What was that?
It's a chill chest.
Chill chest.
So it's from I got it from Big W.
Yeah,
the chill chest is amazing.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Eventually, with the goal is, and Luke and I talked about this a couple months ago, is to have a frothy beer club branded esky that's literally ready to go for your barbecue.
Yeah,
if
amazing.
I go into the shops. If I go into a liquor shop,
yep.
Go into the servo to get your ice, we bring an esky
ice.
For your barbecue.
Yep.
Ice, everywhere to go.
Yep.
When you think about that, what's the number one thing when you're doing a barbecue? You're like, fuck, hey, so-and-so, can you grab some ice?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that's where we're going. And this is, again, off topic, but more recently, Uber Eats now offer BWS and Deliver.
Mm-hmm.
So my whole thing was, the service exists now, which is amazing. As a consumer, I'm glad people need this, but it's obviously a competitor of mine. So that was a bit of a kick to the gut, and I'm like, fuck. You know, that's a massive competitor. They have Uber Eats, blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
But at the same time, it just lit a fire in my stomach, and I'm like, well, they're more expensive. I'm going to be offering an esky full of fucking beer. Like, I'm not fussed.
Yeah.
And if you think about it realistically, you order Uber Eats, it's like generally soggy, cold. Sometimes some chips are eaten. They're probably going to be delivering warm beer, right? What's the number one thing that a beer drinker does not want?
A fucking warm beer. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
you don't want to wait to let that shit cool down.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely don't want a beer in the freezer having to think about it and like you're not allowed to explode or whatever. So there's different things you can play on, I think, which can help your independent sort of
yeah,
win.
Yeah. It was just like things that I wish that service had. Like BWS delivering, what are they missing?
Yep.
And I'll just focus on that.
Mm.
And I'll just innovate it. I like to change shit up and I think outside the box.
Yep.
I definitely want to get to it later, but they're totally missing your stock as well, which is something we can get to later, your variety pack. Mm.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you finished going through that process, but...
Sorry, I kind of go on tangents.
No, but I'm interested in that process. So you mentioned that you're in these rooms with people who had different motivations, different reasons for being in these places.
Yep.
And plus, you're in a world that you didn't really know.
Yeah.
In hindsight, is there anything that you learned through that process which impacted the business today?
100%. Things like having... So I applied for a limited license, which means I'm limited with the hours I can operate. The process of the transaction going through on the website, it completely impacted, I guess, the structure of the business.
Yeah.
Because I'm scared of getting a fine. I don't want to get fucking a 20 grand fine.
No.
So kind of like the way I operate is around the regulations.
Can you maybe dig into that a little bit? Like what regulations do you mean?
So for starters, the operating hours, in my mind, when I launched it was, I'm going to offer beer whenever the fuck I want. Like, you know, late, blah, 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 2 a.m. Legally, I can't do that. My operating hours... currently are weekends 12 p.m. to 10:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole day. On weekdays, I do 7:30 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. But I can't deliver or serve beer post 11 p.m.
No.
Which in my mind was a bit of like a shit. That's like when I thought I'd be doing the most business.
Mm-hmm.
So it completely changed the structure and... personally, I'm more of a day drinker anyway. I love sitting in the sun, that type of thing. So it didn't stop me from proceeding. But eventually I can apply for a different license, try and cover those areas, like that, like a late night license or whatever. But going for the renewable, the main goal was just to like get that first step in. How do I get the license? What's the easiest way of getting it? Which one suits my business? This one, I'm just going to adhere to all these regulations.
Yeah. That sounds it might be me being older, but like I feel like I totally agree there's like a bit of an opportunity there for that post 12 o'clock, but at the same time nothing really good happens 1 p.m. onwards.
Nah.
So 1 a.m. onwards.
1 a.m. onwards, yeah.
So, you know, even thinking about you being in that situation where you're delivering to these like intoxicated people and contributing to this binge drinking culture may not actually align to your values, I guess. So.
Yeah, well, that's a great point. Going through the RSA course, I'm so glad that it's like enforced and you need to do it because I actually learned, holy shit, like it's on me and every other bar, bottle shop to actually make sure the community is safe. We literally are responsible service of alcohol.
Mm.
If someone's fucking drunk, I'm not going to deliver. I don't care. I don't want them to be crook or whatever. I'm like very aware of that now.
Mm.
It's so good that we have those regulations.
Yeah.
Because like, yeah, it was a bit of an eye opener, like that type of thing.
Absolutely. It's great that you've managed to get this going with the kind of minimal viable way. So like your website was launched, it may not be populated with the right content. Your licensing is only within a period of time, but it seems like your hustle mentality is just to kind of get something out there, start operating as learn, and then learn as you go.
Yeah.
Like more of an organic thing, because this is your first business, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
That you're operating. And it's your first encounter with like real customers. So kind of to segue from that, how has that kind of started slowly kind of being put together while you're still going to this 9-to-5 of yours? I mean, what's that balance like? If you can just talk us through that.
Yeah, absolutely. It was very tricky because being a young dad, Parker, my son's only not even 2 years old.
Mm.
So pretty much my day was wake up, see Parker for a little bit before I go to work, come from work, see him for an hour, put him to bed, and then go to bed. I'm exhausted. It was literally, Rachel, I'd be in bed by like sometimes 8 o'clock p.m. Like, and that was it. Yeah. Go to sleep, wake up, go the next day. So
just to clarify, this is prior business?
Prior business.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Prior business. And then when I had, and I realized that I needed to allocate my time more smartly, if that's the right term to use, a friend of mine is a music artist, and he's like, seriously, the hardest worker I know. And he told me, and it resonates, I think about it every day, and I tell myself this every day, be obsessed with it. As soon as I became obsessed with Frothy Beer Club, that's when shit started to happen. And that's essentially the only answer I can really give. I became obsessed. My nights from going to bed at 8 o'clock turned into going to bed at 10:30, allocating that 2 hours a night to do some shit, get some shit organized, booking the fucking RSA, which took 30 seconds, and it completely got me to open the business.
To where you are.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So it's just being obsessed with it. That's all I needed to do.
Yep.
As soon as I became obsessed,
shit started happening. With that ideology and your friend kind of telling you that one line, how much time, Durkin, you've gotten since doing your 9-to-5 and being totally exhausted, how much time do you think you've earned just by shifting your mind?
Oh. Like, as in, like, how much time I've...
I mean, how much time per week that you've managed to kind of get back from just, like, shifting your
yeah,
mind.
Yeah.
Like, from being, a 40-hour week and working a 9-to-5, but how much more time have you managed to kind of go, all right, I'm going to dedicate that much time because now that I'm thinking about it, and looking through through a different lens?
Yeah, more than my 40-hour week at work.
Mm-hmm.
Heaps. Obviously, I spend time with the family. That takes priority, and we go for walks in the morning, that type of thing, the balance, blah, blah, blah. But I'd say I work 40 hours a week at my 9-to-5.
Yep.
And every minute around that, I'm thinking about the business.
Mm.
But also fitting in family time. So how many hours is that? I can't calculate.
I'm not sure yet. Yeah. I'm not sure if the hours is important. I think there's something greater happening here is that you started off this sentiment with, hour with family in the morning, hour or two with family in the night, and then early bedtime. But then this obsession has shifted your mind. I think this is what Omar is saying. This obsession has shifted your mind. And your reason you were going to bed at 8:30 was because you were exhausted from the day. But this motivation has now opened up more time, because realistically you should be tired as fuck right now.
Mm.
Based on the previous statement of going to bed at 8:30.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. True,
so it's
true.
Interesting. I think what Omar is trying to say here is, or pointing out, is that mind shift
has
it's just like a mental blocker, like that, not having this obsession or this drive, hustle, whatever.
Yeah.
I guess was blocking you from all this time that you have. And
it was
possibly making you feel exhausted.
Yeah. You being in a job that, obviously, I care about my work at my 9-to-5. I'm there to achieve a mission or whatever the business is.
Essentially to fund this as well.
To fund, yeah. Exactly right. And that's a good point. If the my 9 to 5 is cash flow to fund this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just cool. Like, I actually like going to work because I'm getting paid to do what I'm passionate about.
Yeah, see, that's amazing. Because a lot of people I talk to who are trying to get something started and still haven't made any progress for the last 2 years or so, they're too busy complaining about their current situation of being stuck at a job, or I wish I was out of that job so I can do X, Y, and Z. But it's like, if you were actually out of that job, would you still get your side hustle yeah. started? You know what I mean?
So true.
But the way you've just said it, you said it perfectly, is that I'm glad that I've got my job because I'm using the skills, the compensation to now feed into this thing here. Mm. So you're looking at it with such a positive lens, and I think it's a mindset that people need to shift when you've got your 9 to 5 and then you need to get your side thing going. You need to look at it in a much more positive way to make sure that, A, you've still got you've got a roof top of your head and your family's head. You're putting food on the table, but then you're also funding this thing. So it's credit to you, man. Like, I mean, for someone who's only been in business for a short period of time, you've definitely done a lot just by shifting that mindset.
Yeah, and like, it's so true. Like, there's you spend what, not potentially 9 hours doing your 9 to 5.
Mm.
There's 24 hours in a day.
Yep.
What's that? Not even 50% of your days at work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't be a little bitch. Just fucking put the hours in. and I was that little bitch. I was complaining. That's why I was thinking, like, working my 9 to 5 job, oh, I wish I had my own business. Oh, I wish, why am I working so hard?
Yeah.
And now I'm, like, glad to have that job. It's like, cool, that's cash flow. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, this conversation is inspiring me because I feel like I totally agree.
As your little brother doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, because like I totally agree. Like my situation is a little bit different in the sense of I have like my 9 to 5 is covering the family, and then my side hustle is covering the capital to then side hustle.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Yeah. But I always saw my 9 to 5 as where I'm learning, as like a place where I'm learning and bringing it down to my hustles. But I didn't think about it in the sense of, that's actually funding me. Like, without that 9 to 5, I can't do my side hustles. I guess that's why they are side hustles.
Exactly.
And it also makes me think about the journey that we're on.
Yeah.
And we should not be taking this for granted. Like, when we quote unquote make it, that's like the goal, but we should be enjoying the fuck out of this time right now.
Yeah, and I think to your point, that's very important, is to enjoy this time and to actually be present, because you don't want to be... You don't have a cluttered brain. You still want to spend quality time with your son and with your daughters and with your loved ones and stuff like that. So it's good to be present, but at the same time, still enjoy all the ups and downs, which is a really good segue, because I wanted to start asking you a little bit more around the challenges of trying to get this up. Because obviously, whilst the motivation is there and the drive and everything else, I wanted to know a little bit more about some of the challenges and some of the pain points that you've encountered to get your business up and running.
Tell you what, balancing the family life, obviously I've only been live for 2 months, super, super early still, but was a challenge the first couple of weeks. Working 9 to 5, coming home, being live. I remember even after the first weekend, Rach and I had a serious talk, and she was like, this is like intense. Like, you're so, like, in the first week I was very like, didn't know what the fuck I was doing, and like very like stressed out, sitting at the computer waiting for a transaction type of thing. And she's like, what about us? Is this what life's going to be for the next, forever, next few years or whatever? And like, it really impacted her that first weekend. And it was like a serious chat we had. And that was like, obviously hard to talk to. And it was, I'm so glad she said something that early on, because it made me realize like, fuck, family's number one. That needs to be most important. So I thought about it and I'm like, back on time, I'm not live till 12. Let's have family time before that. We wake up early because of our son anyway. That's why, like, even like in the family chat, I reached out and I said, hey, who wants to do lunch, breakfast on Sunday morning, to see if even my extended family, like my siblings and stuff. So I'm just using time. That's when I'm not live. Let's see everyone, and allocating that time to catch up to do things with Parker, with Rach. it's kind of like that balance I need.
Mm.
And it's just like, rather than just chilling at home doing nothing, I need to do stuff with them.
Mm.
If that makes sense.
That makes total sense. And I guess something you neglected to mention as well, which I've noticed, because throughout this period, like 2 months now, there have been like family events that have happened where they're clashing with online time. But your business is unique because you balance that. Do you want to maybe dig into that a little bit of how you do that?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So, for example, Luke only lives about 20 minutes away. We he had his daughter's birthday a couple months ago. So, like, this is like a case study, I guess. Okay, one situation.
Yeah.
But I went a bit earlier, as early as I could, I guess, and we just had the visit. And then at 12 o'clock, before business opens, I was like, you know, quarter to whatever, came home for Parker's nap and went live from there. So I'm just like, family events, I'll go that little bit earlier and just work around the business.
Oh, no, you're missing me. No, you're missing my point. the point that your business is like one half of the business is completely digital. So what actually happened is before Simon left, you could log in, be opened, and be waiting for that sale to then, you know?
True. Like I can have
just from your phone.
Yeah.
Your laptop out, click enable cart, and I'm alive.
Yep.
We had grand final day.
Yep.
Luke came around, his daughters, mum and dad, and my cousin, and we just hung out. And the website was live.
Yep.
If I got a sale, actually that day it was weirdly quiet, didn't get anything. But we just hung out.
Yep.
If a sale came through, hey guys, sorry, I gotta go do a delivery. I've had friends come over. We're hanging out, literally having a beer in the backyard.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm drinking and like one beer, that's it. I'm not.
Yeah, you're not operating with the business hours. Yeah.
But they came for the drive.
Yeah.
They loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a bit of a ride for them.
What I wanted to point out here before we move on to the next point is that your answer was actually pretty surprising to me. And I'm kind of amazed by it as well, because I asked you about challenges and pain points. And the first thing you mentioned was family. I was expecting an answer to do with business. It's just like, wow, like it seems like nothing is ever going to make you sweat in terms of the business, because you know in your mind you've already figured out that there's going to be hurdles, there's going to be pain points, but it's all part of ticking boxes. It's just you follow the process, your process that you've created for yourself, and you kind of keep pushing. So to your testament, going back and like highlighting the family part, like that speaks volumes on your character and just kind of like the hustle that you've set up for yourself, which is pretty amazing. Like that's actually quite inspiring to hear, because me personally, I'd be like, man, handling the finances, trying to get sales with my side hustles, trying to do this, meetings, blah, blah, blah. And I wouldn't have said two things about the family. I mean, obviously it's in the back of my head, but given that this podcast is about the side hustle, you jumped ahead to the family. And like, that's the most important thing. Like it's such a good reminder. Like it's something we all should be obviously aware of and cautious of, that whilst you're trying to pursue your dreams, you can't be just focused on that part of it. Like it comes with everything else, and you got to make sure that all your grounds are covered, you know, whilst you're doing this thing. So
just touching on you saying finances, like it's so funny, it's important, obviously you need revenue to run. But like me, the whole reason why I started the business initially was for money, to make more money. It's crazy that I'm more passionate now. I don't give a fuck about the money. All I care about is like having the service. I don't give a shit if I like just get at my cost, like, you know, I make enough to have running costs. That's all that matters. It's just fun. When you get told, like growing up, what's that saying? If you're passionate about what you do, it's not work. That is literally what my life is. Obviously my 9-to-5, I'm not insanely passionate about. To a degree I am. I actually enjoy going to work, and I take where I can from my learning, leadership, blah, blah, blah. But here, this,
it's a dream.
It's just fun. It's rather than playing a video game. I'm just growing a business. Like that's life should be. Do what's fun.
Totally. Living for the week rather than the weekend. I totally agree. It's cool to hear that side of uh, to hear people say that sort of stuff, because I feel like I talk to people and, like, from my point of view, or from Omar and I's point of view, we're in an industry where work majority of the time is fun. Like, it's, we're in a fun industry.
We're in a creative industry. We get to create cool things and, make sure that clients are satisfied with what we do.
Yeah, and it's always puzzling. It's always puzzling when people complain about work and you wonder why don't you do something about it?
Yeah.
But then also to think about that as well is, like, think about from, like, my point of view, is no matter how fun and much I enjoy my job, it's still not enough. Like, I still want to feel empowered to be doing my own thing, and I'm still yet to feel that passion, to be honest. Like, I think I always thought it was a hinder of me that I don't really care about anything that I'm doing in my 9 to 5. But I kind of think of it as a bit of a superpower at the moment. Like, I just, me not caring allows me to do my best work and shift my mind. Like, I'm quite good at shifting the mindset from thing to thing. Yeah, I agree with you. Like,
I think it's important to, like, that mindset's very important. Like, your 9 to 5 is important, blah, 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 but not putting your all into it is pivotal to actually achieve what's important to you. Like, that's such a good point. Like, ever since I've started Frothy Beer Club, that's, like, I've kind of done my job there, you know, be a leader, blah, 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 but put, like, 55% there, and then the other 45% is Frothy Beer Club.
Yeah, yeah. That kind of thing. You talked a lot about some of the entrepreneurs that you look up to and some of the books that you've read and podcasts and stuff. Do you have any actual mentorship? Do you ever see someone face to face who's giving you kind of, like, business advice? I mean, as a startup, I'm sure it's a very important thing to kind of get some advice and some guidance around that.
Not necessarily for FBC, not like a proper your business, you should do this. When I worked at an advertising agency, my boss heavily impacted my mindset and everything on my life, everything. Like, he taught me so much. He's the one that forced me to read books, that kind of thing.
Sure.
Which quickly became, what's the next book versus, fuck, I got to read this book right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And things that I say on the day to day, he kind of introduced me to, like, for example, like Kerwin Ray, who's a Australian social media influencer, I guess, or whatever you call it, motivational speaker. So meeting him and working with him, I learned so much.
Yeah, well.
If you look at my, like, professional and personal, like, growth, I guess, for the past 5 years, this is literally, like, I'm drawing like a graph with my fingers. It was steady, and then my role at DRM was just boom,
spiked.
Like, him, he had a massive impact on my life.
Sure.
And leaving that job was one of the hardest things I've ever done.
Yep. But it's given you that foundation by default. You didn't know what was happening, but you were learning a lot.
Mm.
And you've just got kind of this, like, library or this kind of, like, toolbox of things that you can now apply to your day-to-day to make sure that your business is running in the direction you want it to run in.
Yeah.
So what we wanted to know is kind of like the future vision we did talk about. You know, you want to pursue this entire club thing. You want to get artists and acts and whatever, and you want to kind of sponsor and host it. What's next for this club? What else are you thinking of doing?
Yeah, good question. So priority now is just, like, own this area, be the bottle shop of people.
Yeah.
Even though we're a club, essentially we are an online bottle shop. So rather than having to walk to this, to just own this area, that's, like, the short term goal. But from there, long term vision is open up all around, take over Melbourne, take over regional areas. The whole point of the business is to get people beers when they need them. So if a service doesn't exist there, I'm going there. I need to give them what they want. That's where I need to go. So the goal is to the vision is to just have coverage.
Sure.
So does that mean scale then? Like scale, more drivers and...
More drivers, more, like, licensed premises, probably eventually having a shop front, because some people like to walk in, pick their beers, you know. Especially one thing that we're going to touch on is our offering. Our unique selling point is we do offer some like craft beers that you can't necessarily get at Liquorland or
BWS. Okay. Yeah, that's actually very important.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, yeah. I'm interested to dig into that actually, the motivation, the choices and how you chose them and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. The reason I went down that path is I like, especially you've influenced my beer taste a lot over the years, but I like to try new beers. Mm. I'm no expert, but while I learn, new taste, kaiju and that type of thing, why don't I share that with the club?
Yep.
Like, as I'm learning and trying new shit, let's offer it. If I like it, fuck it, let's add to the list.
Do you talk about these beers the way you're passionate about it right now? Like, sitting in front of us, the way you're talking about some of these beers, like, you can tell the passion that you're almost becoming a craft beer connoisseur of some sort. But is there, do you reckon you'll ever create a medium that you can talk about it in that way that you're so passionate about? You know what I mean?
This is where it gets really interesting. And there's probably, I'm not sure if this is, like, something smart to talk about, but I'm definitely no connoisseur. I'm a type of guy that if you give me a Melbourne bitter, I could drink that all night. I fucking love simple shit.
Yeah.
You know that. Mm. I don't necessarily need to have like try crafts and stuff. Sure. But I love testing it.
Yeah.
100%. I would love to have a medium, whether it's a web video or reviews, where not necessarily me, but we educate people like, hey, this is where the beer is from, the tastes, what you can pair it with. Hell yeah, I love having food with beers. Mm. Like, it's, sometimes it can completely impact the experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but so, then you're making it accessible to all beers, not just like beer snobs or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Make it accessible to everybody.
Oh, 100%. I'd love to see a review on like Carlsberg and what to pair it with. You know, like, on that, I should probably stock that. I love Carlsberg.
Well, maybe, I think this is a good segue into. And a good way to sort of start to wrap up a little bit is like the offering itself. So we've talked about the delivery, the ordering, all that sort of stuff. But what about the product? Like, what are you selling? Tell us about this variety pack. Like, why variety pack? Tell us about.
Yeah, awesome. So on the website, one of our like six packs is literally a variety pack, which is one of six different beers clayed into like a. Different tastes, different types of beer, that type of thing.
Sure.
And no one does that. And some people who like to love testing new beers, get bored having a six pack of one thing.
Yeah.
So we offer a variety six pack where it's almost like a journey or an experience, having a different beer a night or trying a few different ones. And that's actually been pretty successful. Like, people have been surprisingly like ordering that more than ever. Expand their knowledge on beers or try new things. I guess I'm not really sure what else to talk about.
Well, as an outsider, I've ordered this variety pack a few times. You can get it in a 6 or a 10 pack. Is that right?
Just 6. Six at this point. Yeah, just 6.
Okay, cool. Well, you can buy 10 packs too, right?
You can get 10 packs of everything else.
Yeah.
But as the range grows and we have more beers on slot, 100% we'll be doing a 10 pack.
Well, the 10 pack's cool because the 10 pack is like, and then just basically whatever beer you want, right?
Yeah,
the 10 pack's cool because the 10 pack is like a little bit more than a six pack, but at the same time more economical than a slab, and like thinking about how much you want to drink. But thinking about the variety pack, the reason I like the variety pack is because I like varieties of beers. I find when I go to a bottler or when I'm looking at new beers, beers are quite expensive these days, so you know, spending $26 on a six pack or a four pack is a commitment. And if you don't like it, then you're stuck with like five more, three more, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So I really enjoy the variety, but at the same time, in the variety pack, there are some things that I assumed I wouldn't like the Fat Yak Pacific Ale. I assumed I wouldn't like it, not because it would be too tasty or anything. Actually, for the opposite, that it would be kind of watery and boring.
Yeah.
But it kind of forces you to drink it because in this variety pack, so you sort of like, and I admittedly left it last every time. But I'm pleasantly surprised each time I have it, because it's like, it's actually not bad. Like, and I wouldn't have ever bought that six pack.
Yeah.
So there's like some strength in there. And actually, I'm going to buy a few six packs on the way out now. But I do enjoy the variety.
It's a good point on that. I'm like, as I mentioned, I'm not a connoisseur or anything like that, but the craft experience is normally go to the bottle shop, and just from people that I've talked to, it is you go through and you pick manually a few different beers to try. This is what we're doing with that.
Sure.
Obviously, it's a structured six pack.
Yeah, you're not able to choose your own beers in the
not
in,
yet. Well, that's in the pack. Yeah. In phase like two or three, we're definitely gonna.
You can kind of tailor make your own stuff.
So like, yeah, it's almost like we're going to the bottle shop and you can pick stuff. That's sure. where we're heading.
Yeah.
But 100%, that's what it is. It's just expand your knowledge. Don't just go for your usual shit. Try something different.
And just whilst we're wrapping up, the areas that you're kind of servicing now, if someone wants to, you know, experience this kind of variety pack and experience your service, what areas are you currently covering?
So we're currently in the Western suburbs. So we're in Sydenham is where the actual like licensed premise is.
Yeah.
But we have about like a 20-minute radius around that area.
Yeah, Western suburbs of Melbourne.
Of Melbourne, yeah, of course, of Melbourne. So we cover, and that's just because at this point, it's literally just me.
Absolutely. Yep.
So once I have drivers and I can scale and I can go further, I 100% will.
Yeah.
Whether that's having another premise or having drivers with stock on hand, it will be, Western suburbs. And rather than going metro, I'm going regional.
Sure.
Yeah, definitely. Sure. So I guess, so for people out of the radius, is there any way they can sort of notify you if anyone was interested in this sort of service to like, you know, get their area on the radar to sort of, to get numbers and stuff like that? Is there any way anyone can like, you know, be on the waiting list or anything
like 100%. That? So on the website, we have a postcode verification. So you put in your postcode and if we cover the area, you can get onto the website. If not, you can subscribe to a list where we provide updates. As soon as we go further, we'll notify, hey, we're now covering this area, this area.
And if someone wants to reach your website, what are they tapping into their phones?
Tell us your socials. Tell people everything.
You should follow Frothy Beer Club on Instagram, on Facebook, Frothy Beer Club. www.frothybeerclub.com.au is the website.
Yeah.
Check it out. Check us out. Try do a test order. I'm not going to lie to you. Every time we get an order, I get super excited. It's just, I get a hit of dopamine when the order comes through. I run to the fucking fridge, do the order, take it to your door. I'm quick. Sometimes I'm within 15 minutes if I'm lucky, and they get a hit of dopamine when I open them when they I arrive super promptly.
Yeah.
Then I kind of go overboard and I, you know me, I just want to give shit away. So I give free beers all the time. I just thank you for ordering.
You shouldn't do that, man. It's a business.
I
get what you mean.
The best way I can describe it is like when you order fish and chips and you find that bonus potato cake.
It was a day awesome. Like this. It was a couple weeks ago. I had an order come through and like it was just about 10 minutes away.
Yeah.
So I fucking ran, got the car ready, ran, put the order in the car. When I arrived, I like got my Frothy Beer Club game on. And I'm like, thanks for your order. Here's the six pack holder is recyclable. Give it back to me for the next order, and it's a free beer. I'll give you a free beer in exchange.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, that's cool. And then I'm like, but as I said, here free beer. I gave him another beer, and he was just like, well, thanks, like thank you.
Taking back.
As I was leaving, he closed the door. As I was leaving, I was walking away from his house. He opened the door again. He goes, fuck, you guys are quick. And a big smile on his face. And I had I'm like, thanks, man. Biggest smile on my life. It was like, the feeling was just like, that's why I'm doing this.
Yeah.
Getting emotional thinking about it. It was just like, that was just the best.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. That's a really good note to kind of wrap things up. Is there any kind of like last kind of lines or anything that you want to say or?
For anyone who has a side hustle, motivation is very hard to like get to, and like actually, I guess to be motivated is easier said than done. Just think about how much time you have, and just do it. We can do anything we want. I don't want to go on a bit of a rant about this, but we're as we go through life, like growing up in school and stuff, we're taught one thing, and it's not for people like me who think outside the box and don't want to what's the word I'm looking for? That they don't want to
conform.
Conform. Thank you. Conform. Just do what you want. You can do anything you want. It doesn't need. You don't need to be a fucking multimillionaire. All you need to do is just do what makes you happy. And being an optimistic person, now I'm doing it. Anyone can do this. I'm not even like a big business yet. I'm just starting out and I'm having the time of my life. You know, I honestly can't get on and on about this, but the goal shouldn't be happiness. Happiness is the system to get there, is a process to get there. Happiness is the fact that you're doing your side hustle. So like that's life.
That's awesome. I couldn't have said any better.
Yeah, I'm speechless a little bit. Yeah. I don't know what to say to that.
You must be a proud older brother.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for being a part of this. I'm not sure we mentioned at the start. We probably did. It's been a bit of a whirlwind. This is our pilot. This is our first episode. So thank you so much for being involved in this first episode.
And talk about it for like days. I can do it. You know, I love this shit.
It's been a definitely interesting Saturday morning. Yeah. Drinking beers at 10 in the morning has been an experience. But it's been a pleasure having you, man.
Thank you so much for having me.